This is a special edition of Fresh Air, devoted to composer Harry Warren. It's part of our series on American popular song.
Gone are my blues and gone are my tears. I've got good news to shout in your ears. The long-lost dollar has come back to the fold. With silver you can turn your dreams to gold. Oh, we're in the money.
During the Depression in the 30s, Warren and lyricist Al Dubin wrote the songs that accompanied the lavish production spectacles staged by Busby Berkeley in such films as 42nd Street and the Gold Diggers series, films that popularized the movie musical genre. Philip Furia is here to talk with us about Warren's role in the evolution of the movie musical. Furia is currently writing a book about Hollywood musicals and is the author of The Poets of Tin Pan Alley and Irving Berlin, A Life in Song. He's the chair of the English department at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. Philip Furia, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much.
Harry Warren wrote so many well-known songs. How come his name isn't better known?
Well, he wondered about that himself. He thought it was because he primarily wrote out in Hollywood, whereas the more famous songwriters like Cole Porter and the Gershwins, Irving Berlin, established themselves on Broadway. And if you write for Broadway, you know, think of a Broadway marquee. It says, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma, Irving Berlin's Annie Get Your Gun. The songwriter was clearly identified with a Broadway musical. But out in Hollywood, the songwriter was almost peripheral to the making of a Hollywood musical. Harry Warren grumbled once that out in Hollywood, a songwriter was the lowest form of life, had very little say in how the songs were used, wasn't part of putting the story together or deciding where songs would go, was sometimes not even given a script, just told to write a choral song for Fred and Ginger. So that the songwriter was not very much a part of a Hollywood film musical and was never really associated the way songwriters were on Broadway.
It's kind of like that lyric from the Harry Warren Al Dubin song Dames from the 1934 musical Dames, and the lyric goes, who writes the words and music for all the girly shows? No one cares and no one knows.
Right. Harry Warren even appeared in some of his own musicals playing the role of a songwriter, and it just looks like another extra. So, yeah, you're right. It's a tragedy in some ways that he isn't more fully associated with those wonderful musicals.
Harry Warren wrote the songs for such 30s musicals as 42nd Street, Gold Diggers of 1933, Gold Diggers of 1935, 20 Million Sweethearts, Dames, Footlight Parade, Go Into Your Dance. But he really wanted to write for Broadway. He left New York for Hollywood during the Depression. When he left for Hollywood, what effect was the Depression having on Broadway and on Hollywood?
Well, if you think about how much it cost to put on a Broadway musical and what the ticket prices were, even back in the 1930s, the Depression almost darkened the lights of Broadway. There were very few musicals put on, certainly in the early years of the Depression. But in Hollywood, the musical was thriving. It was relatively cheap to buy a ticket to a movie theater. And many of the songwriters and performers, I mean, think of somebody like Fred Astaire, who originally started on Broadway in the 1920s, they all migrated westward to Hollywood. And there was a lot of work, and the public was going to movies when they could no longer afford to go to Broadway shows.
So there was just more work for songwriters in Hollywood.
Yeah, and the studios in Hollywood, once sound came in 1927 with the Al Jolson movie, The Jazz Singer, the Hollywood studios began buying up all the old music publishing firms that had once been called Tin Pan Alley in New York, so that the studios not only were using songs, they were producing them. They were having songwriters move to the West Coast to write songs to be used directly in films.
Well, how did Harry Warren end up writing songs for the Warner Brothers movie studio?
Well, there was a big wave of musicals right after The Jazz Singer in the late 1920s, and they were very popular. But movie musicals quickly exhausted themselves. The public got very tired of them by the early 1930s. In fact, theater owners were saying that people were coming up to the box office and saying, is this movie a musical? And if the answer was yes, they would walk away. They'd gotten so tired of the hackneyed formulas of the early musicals. And in 1933, Warner Brothers, that had been the studio that started musicals with the jazz singer, decided to try to bring back the musical. And there was a producer there, Daryl Zanuck, who later went on to become one of the major Hollywood producers. But he gambled that the public would return to musicals if they could be jazzier, more rhythmic, and given the nature of Warner Brothers movies, musicals are not grittier, much more realistic, much more New York-centered. So he brought Al Dubin, the lyricist, and Harry Warren, the composer, together and said he wanted very, very jazzy, rhythmic songs for 42nd Street. And he also added another important person, a choreographer named Busby Berkeley. And the combination of Dubin and Warren's songs and Berkeley's wonderful production numbers, really using the camera to create unheard-of kinds of spectacles to surround songs. That and that very gritty story of 42nd Street, the original kind of backstager. You see the underside of Broadway. All those elements combined to produce 42nd Street, and it was a smash success and really revived the whole genre of musicals. They began making them again, and of course that was followed by Fred and Ginger in 1934. So you had about another wonderful 10, 15 years of musicals, largely because of 42nd Street.
The title song from 42nd Street is a real upbeat song, but it's surprising when you actually see the movie. The production number is this street scene, a collaged street scene, and there's a lot of pretty downbeat things happening in there. Would you describe the production number?
It's a street scene in New York, and you see all sorts of crime, a man strangling a woman in an upstairs apartment and throws her out the window onto the street. People are getting mugged. It's still most people's image of New York today. But it was, really for its time, a very, very different image of New York as a setting for a musical than anything that had come before it. It really revels in a kind of violence and grittiness. And the song itself still celebrates New York for that kind of energy.
Let's hear 42nd Street from the soundtrack of the 1932 film. Music from the film 42nd Street. The title song was on Variety's top 10 list for 11 weeks in 1932. My guest is Philip Furia, and we're talking about Harry Warren's songwriting career in the 30s. Was Harry Warren's music for 42nd Street and his subsequent Depression musicals different from the music in film musicals that had preceded him?
Yes. In fact, there's a wonderful moment in 42nd Street where they're rehearsing this very old schmaltzy kind of waltz. And the Warner Baxter, who plays the director, says, "Cut, cut, cut, get rid of that song. I was tired of it 20 years ago." And most of the early film musicals had very syrupy, sentimental waltz kinds of melodies to them. But Warren was a very jazzy songwriter. And in fact, when he first started writing songs in Tin Pan Alley in the 20s, before he started making movies, they complained that his songs had too many notes in them. But when Warren went out to Hollywood, that was exactly the style they wanted for 42nd Street. And when he teamed with Al Dubin, who was a very vernacular, colloquial lyricist, it was a wonderful match between rhythmic, jazzy, riffy music and very everyday vernacular lyrics. So it was a wonderful teaming up of the two styles.
Well, take a song like Lullaby of Broadway that John Pizzarelli just performed for us. Is that kind of like notiness and colloquialism in that song?
Oh, sure. Just think of the Hip Hooray in Ballyhoo, the Lullaby of Broadway. When a Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning. That's a very notey song, but the lyric is so relaxed and urbane and urban. Ballyhoo was a term that came out of the 1920s. Now we call it hype or PR, but it was a very current catchphrase, and Dubin works it right into the lyric.
Yeah, and the way the music is written is just this natural syncopation.
Yeah, and as with so many songs, it was always written music first, and then lyrics were added to it. So to be a lyricist with somebody like Harry Warren, it was quite a challenge because you really had to match syllable to note. And there were very tricky phrases, syncopated, abrupt, angular kinds of melodies. And to be able to match that with lyrics that sound like everyday conversation was a real challenge, and Dubin was a master at it.
Philip Furia is the author of The Poets of Tin Pan Alley and Irving Berlin, A Life in Song. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.